Saul of Tarsus, being a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin, was a highly educated Pharisee in Jesus' day. Saul believed that the early Christian church was a threat to Judaism. His primary goal was to exterminate the Christians. Saul was given permission by the leaders in Jerusalem to round up Christians and is given authority to execute them. During Paul's journey to Damascus in Syria, he is met by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. From that day on, Saul's name is changed to Paul, and his life is never the same. Paul sees a bright light and hears the voice of Jesus. He is blinded for a time of 3 days, and when the time is fulfilled, the scales fall from Paul's eyes, and he sees that Jesus is the Messiah that his people have been waiting for. Contents abstract high chapter A Saul's conversion 4 chapter 2 Paul's ministry begins 4 references 10 scriptures point 1 chapter A Saul's conversion in the Bible. The book of Acts according to the apostles is written by Luke and documents actions of the early church. After Jesus' resurrection and ascension to heaven, the church underwent severe persecution, and in response to that, believers fled to cities and dispersed over Asia Minor. The Jews felt that the Church of Jesus Christ, also known as the Way, was a huge threat to their traditions, customs, and by acknowledging that Jesus was God in the flesh was equivalent to blaspheme. They felt it was their job to stamp out this new movement. One such group was the Sanhedrin, keepers of the Mosaic Law, in Jerusalem. Even though they had been waiting for their long-promised Messiah, their pride kept them from seeing that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. In Acts chapter 7, we read one of the Hellenic Jews, Stephen, becomes a martyr for Jesus Christ. This is where Stephen gives a discourse about Jesus. Stephen starts with the call of Abraham, goes down through the patriarchs, and how God delivers Israel through the hand of Moses, then how Moses wrote about the coming Messiah. Stephen rebukes the crowd and tells them that they are resisting the Holy Spirit by not accepting Jesus and his sacrifice. This infuriates the Pharisees, and they stone Stephen to death. As Stephen is being stoned, he sees the risen Savior and asks Jesus to receive his spirit. In Acts chapter 7:58, we are introduced to Saul. He is close enough to the situation to hold the cloaks of those who would stone the martyr Stephen. Saul participating in this event shows us his deep involvement with Stephen's death. Saul has the opportunity to speak up and save Stephen's life, but he didn't either, for being a partaker and witness to Stephen's death makes Saul just as guilty, and therefore, an accomplice to his death. As I read this chapter, I can't help but wonder if the Pharisees really thought this was a threat to Judaism, or more of a threat to their power and their control over the Jewish people. What would make them so angry that they would commit murder and think that they were doing God a service? In the book of Genesis, we read about the pride and anger that caused the fall of Lucifer and Cain killing his brother Abel. I suppose the same rage surfaced in the hearts of these unregenerate Pharisees enough for them to commit murder as well. Persecution of the church intensifies. Acts chapter 8 tells us Saul goes house to house dragging off men and women and committing them to prison for their faith in Christ, Acts 8:1-3, as I read chapter 7 and 8 in the book of Acts, and how Saul persecutes the believers for their faith in Jesus Christ. I have one question: who does this guy think he is? Upon further investigation of Saul, we find that he was born in Tarsus to an Israelite family of the tribe of Benjamin. He is brought up with compliance and law, and he being admitted to the Sanhedrin as a Pharisee means that he was an expert in the Old Testament Jewish law and a Roman citizen, which would make him the equivalent of a doctor in our day. In Saul's mind, he was protecting the very essence of the Old Testament law. Acts chapter 9, Saul is still incited to anger and murder. He asks 4 letters from the chief priests to go to every synagogue in Damascus so that he can continue arresting, imprisoning, and murdering those who believe in Jesus. On his way to Damascus, Saul is confronted by the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 9, 3-9 gives an account of what happens to Saul. This brings to mind, as I think about saying from being kicked off your high horse. Saul has what the Bible says appears as scales on his eyes, and he cannot see. The Bible further says he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. Jesus appears to Ananias and sends his disciple to visit Saul. Notably, Ananias is alarmed because he has heard of Saul's reputation and how he persecutes the brethren everywhere, but nevertheless Ananias obeys God's command. He goes and seeks out Saul. Ananias prays for Saul. The Bible says something like scales fell from his eyes and he could see. Saul arose and was baptized. He ate, spent some days with the disciples in Damascus, and his life was never the same. I see the scales that fell from Saul's eyes being representative of our own pride and arrogance when we think we know better than God knows. This is what the Bible calls the veil, 2 Corinthians 3:16, being removed from the eyes of our understanding, being enlightened, and getting a spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:17. As Saul beholds a glimpse of his risen Savior, he is faced with his own sinfulness. He changes his name from Saul, his Jewish name, to Paul, his Gentile name, as he is a new creation in Christ. The Greek translation of Saul means asked of God, but the Greek translation of Paul means little. Standard Educational Corporation, 1988, p.945 Dictionary, the Bible doesn't tell us what kind of revelation Paul received over those 3 days, but, as you read through the book of Acts, Paul commits his whole life, mind, actions, and being to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying world, even until his own death at the hand of Emperor Nero. Chapter 2. Paul's ministry begins. The Apostle Paul gives us little glimpses throughout books of the New Testament that he penned by his own hand about his life-changing experiences. The New Testament is compiled of 27 books, 12 of them Paul wrote, which accounts for 44% of the New Testament. He chronicles his journeys, triumphs, setbacks, partners in ministry, and the powerful ways the Lord worked in his life. Paul's ministry starts in Damascus, and 37 AD he traveled on 3 missionary journeys through the Roman and Greek empires. He is imprisoned in Judea, proceeds on a voyage to Rome, where he is imprisoned until his death in 67 AD. Paul tells us that after his conversion, Galatians 1:17 says that Jesus instructs him to go to desert of Arabia. It is there Paul is trained to preach the gospel. Some people may wonder why Jesus did not send Paul out immediately after his conversion. I have a theory about this. Although it is possible to commit large passages of Scripture to memory, sometimes distorting and manipulating the Scriptures to fit our own beliefs, I believe Paul needed special instruction on how Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. We cannot begin to fully understand the gospel until we are converted, filled with the Holy Spirit, and have a life-changing experience. The scales are removed from our eyes, and we come face to face with the risen Lord. If that does not happen, the Bible becomes just another book. Once God's word is written on our hearts, our spirits grow, and we start to live by Jesus' principles and understand salvation in Christ. Until we are filled with the Holy Spirit, life means very little. At this time, Paul received such deep and intense revelation directly from Jesus that his mind, heart, and spirit could barely contain it. We can't say that we know our Lord, but until we do what he says, our actions are empty. The Apostle Paul's first missionary journey starts out in Antioch. He travels with his ministry companions, Barnabas and Mark. Acts 14:28, Paul and his companions cover the area of Antioch, Cyprus, Syria, and Paphos. They sail to Phrygia, which is now southern Turkey, and continue to Perga, Iconium, Lystra, Pisidia, back to Syria. Paul's first missionary journey lasts about 6 years, from 44 AD to 50 AD, Acts 13:4-6, 14:3, 14:21, 14:24-28. As Paul starts his second missionary journey, about 51 AD, and his ministry companion is Silas. Paul and Silas travel to Derbe and Lystra, where they find Timothy, a young man with a Jewish mother and Greek father. The Bible tells us it was Paul's custom to first visit the synagogue to preach to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. Timothy is converted and joins Paul as his ministry companion. They travel through Asia Minor to Galatia, Macedonia, and areas of Greece. It's during this time that Paul meets Aquila and Priscilla, all three are tent makers. As Paul befriends the people he disciples, he establishes churches in order to have a meeting place where new believers can be taught and disciples could grow up in the body of Christ. Paul's second journey comes to a close around 54 AD, Acts 16:14-34, Acts 17:14-15, 18-5, 23, and 26. Paul's third journey begins in 54 AD, Acts 18:23. Paul proceeds to visit all of the early churches that he started. Timothy joins him while he is traveling. He writes letters to the churches and addresses very controversial topics about the law, prophets, behavior towards one another, God, and how to live our lives, Acts 19:9-22. It is during Paul's final missionary journey he is beaten and brought before the Sanhedrin. He preaches Jesus Christ to them and tells them he will be a witness or martyr in Rome, Acts 23:12. Paul is sent to the governor, and because no one wants to deal with him and because some of the Jews vowed to kill Paul, he is sent to Rome because he is Roman citizen. He then appeals to Caesar, Acts 25:11. Paul writes most of his letters to the churches from a prison cell being chained to Roman soldiers. Paul ministers to his guards while some profess faith in Christ and are part of Caesar's household. Paul is beheaded by Emperor Nero, and 67 AD. I think his life is best summed up in the scriptures, Rom 1:16-77. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God, for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. 17:4 In the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. During Paul's missionary journeys he often encountered violence, verbal abuse and loneliness, shipwrecks, stoning, and gets caught up in a riot in Ephesus. He also saw miracles, and he knew his life would not come to an end until his journey was finished. Paul had an audience with kings, governors, and a Caesar. He saw doors open for ministry as people were healed and raised from the dead. When he spoke, he had the power of the Holy Spirit with him. When Paul went into a town, he never left it the way he found it. The Apostle Paul had been a murderer and a persecutor of Christians, but once Jesus, the risen Lord, appeared to him, he was never the same. He gave his life for the sake of Christ and the furthering of the gospel message.